how to determine value of taxable supply. Please remember, this is very important. And why this is very important? Because ultimately, the tax is levied on the value of the supply. And therefore, Section 15 talks about value of taxable supply, how to determine the value of taxable supply. So transaction, normally speaking, transaction value is price actually paid or payable. So typically, it is the transaction value, which is the price actually paid or payable, which is taken as the value or the taxable value for the purpose of levying the tax. It is applicable when parties not related and price is sole consideration. So this requirement of transaction value being the taxable value is applicable only when the parties are not related to each other and price is the only sole consideration. Meaning what? Meaning, in case if the parties are related with each other in one way or the other and the price is not the sole consideration, in that case transaction value will not be the taxable value. In that case, the transaction value will need to be determined based on the valuation rules prescribed under the GST rules. The taxable value will include taxes, incidental expenses and commission. It will also include interest, penalty and price linked subsidies. And I'm sure, friends, you can understand as to why the taxes, incidental expenses, commission, penalties, interest need to be included in the taxable value, because the government will not like to miss the revenue collection. And therefore, whatever is forming part of the transaction value, they would like it to be included. Because when they include everything into the taxable value, the amount of tax that will be levied is going to be higher. And that is going to be the interest of the revenue for the purpose of collection the revenues. Government subsidies are excluded from value. So in case if there is any government subsidy given, that will be excluded from determining the taxable value. Pre-supply and agreed post-supply discounts are allowed while determining the taxable value. Special rules are applicable for related persons. So in case of related persons, as I mentioned earlier, there are separate rules prescribed and those will need to be followed for determining the taxable value. So how do you determine the transaction value under the GST acts? Transaction value. So number one, please remember, GST is charged on transaction value of goods or services supplied, as we have discussed little while ago. Transaction value means price actually paid or payable in the normal course. Applicable only when the suppliers and the recipients are not related parties. Price must be the sole consideration for the supply. Forms the primary basis for computing the taxable value. So this is what that we have discussed. Forms the primary base for computing the taxable value. It is determined in accordance with Section 15 of the CGST Act. So this is what we need to remember as far as the transaction value is concerned. So normally, it is the transaction value, provided it is in the normal course, provided these buyers, suppliers and the recipient are not related party, provided that there is no other consideration other than the price that has been charged. So there are certain inclusions in value of supply. So all taxes, duties, cess, and charges other than GST is included. Amounts payable by supplier but incurred by recipient included, right? So amounts payable by supplier but incurred by the recipient. That means this is to ensure that the buyer and the supplier do not enter into an arrangement so as to reduce the GST liability. And therefore, if there is an expense which is payable by the supplier with regard to the goods and these services which are to be delivered. If it is payable by the supplier, but it is incurred by the recipient, now that amount is included. And why that amount is included? Because it is part of the transaction value. Incidental expenses such as packing, commission included into the transaction value. Interest, late fee or penalty for delayed payment is included into the transaction value. Subsidies directly linked to price included in transaction value, but the government subsidies is specifically excluded from the transaction value. So how do you do the treatment of discounts under the GST? Discounts given before or at supply, deductible if recorded in invoice. Post-supply discounts allowed only if pre-agreed terms exist. Discount must be specifically linked to the relevant invoice. And this is with regard to whether the discounts should be included or should not be included or should be excluded will depend on the points that I have just discussed with you. That is, discounts given before or at supply deductible if recorded in invoice. Post-supply discounts allowed only if pre-agreed terms exist. Discount must be specifically linked to relevant invoices. Proportionate ITC reversal required by the recipient. So when the discount is given, obviously there has to be proportionate ITC reversal by the recipient has to be done. Non-fulfillment of conditions leads to tax adjustment. Proper documentation essential for deduction claim. So the taxpayer has to ensure that everything is well documented so that tomorrow at the time of the audit or at the time of assessment or at any other stage scrutiny, there are no challenges that he has to face. There are certain special situations, friends, where there are different rules for the determination of value. So prescribed valuation methods applied when transaction value is unavailable. So there is no transaction value available for whatever reason. In such case, the rules prescribe the valuation methods that will need to be applied. Government may notify special valuation mechanisms in certain cases or in case of related party transactions require special valuation rules. So in case of related party transactions, and friends, I am sure you can understand why there are special valuation rules in case of related party transactions, and that is because these transactions being the transaction between the related party, the related parties can maneuver the valuation in a way so as to defeat or so as to reduce their tax liability. And that is why in case of related party transactions, the special valuation rules need to be followed. Related persons would mean when there are people who have the control, ownership or partnership. So that is what is related persons. So when one entity has a control on the other entity, it is a related party. When one business owner also owns the another business, it is a related party. When there is common ownership of the private limited companies or limited companies or listed companies or unlisted companies, there is a related party transaction. And there are common partnerships, these are the related party transactions. And that is where the valuations will need to be done based on the valuation rules prescribed by the GST framework. So employer, employee and family relationship is also covered. Sole agent or distributor arrangements are also treated as related parties. Input tax credit, what are the conditions for being eligible to be able to avail the input tax credit? Number one, ITC is available on inputs used in the course of business. Number two, possession of valid tax invoice or debit note has to be there. Three, actual receipt of goods or services must also have taken place. That is mandatory. Number four, filing of the prescribed GST returns is absolutely necessary. Number five, 180-day payment condition applicable to supplier dues. And number six, no ITC allowed if depreciation claimed on tax component. Let's also now, friends, pay some more attention to the blocked credit under the GST. ITC is restricted on motor vehicles except specified business uses. So unless the ITC is being used, unless the vehicle is being used for the business specified business purposes, ITC will not be allowed on the motor vehicles. Food, catering, beauty, and health services are generally restricted as far as the availment of ITC credit is concerned, which means these are blocked credits. Club membership and employee travel benefits are also excluded from the ITC credit, that means they are blocked credits. Works contract for immovable property is also not eligible for availing the ITC credit. Personal consumption supplies not entitled to credit in any case. Goods lost, destroyed, or given as gifts disallowed. So in case if the taxpayer has bought goods and paid GST on that, and that credit is available with him, but part of those goods have been lost or destroyed or stolen or given as gift, in such cases, the taxpayer will need to reverse the ITC proportionately to the extent of the value of the goods lost, destroyed, or given as gifts. And that means to that extent, the ITC will be disallowed. Tax paid due to fraud or suppression, not eligible. So in case if someone has paid a tax due to fraud or suppression, that will not be eligible for ITC credit. Now, how to apportion the amount of credit in different situations? And this is dealt with under the CGST Act, under Section 17. So credit, remember, is restricted to portion attributable to business use only. So say, for example, a company has purchased refrigerators and the taxpayer has purchased the refrigerators. He has purchased 4 refrigerators. Out of these 4 refrigerators, 3 are being used in the factory premises or in the office premises for the business use. 1 refrigerator is used at the taxpayer's residence. So to the extent of the ITC applicable to the refrigerator used at the taxpayer's residence, ITC will not be allowed. So separate proportion for taxable and exempt supplies is required. Exempt supply value includes specified non-taxable transactions. Banking and financial institutions have an option that they can straight away opt for 50% ITC method so as to keep at bay the complexities of computing and accounting of the ITC and the complexities which are applicable considering the multitudes of the transactions. Option once exercised, valid for entire financial year. So if in case of a bank or financial institution has opted for 50% ITC method, now once it is opted for, it is going to be valid for the entire financial year. Attribution rules prescribed for proper credit calculation. So the GST framework has prescribed the rules for the purpose of proper credit calculation. How to do the IGST apportionment and settlement of funds? As we all know by now, IGST is collected on interstate supplies of goods or services. Tax is apportioned between the center and the destination state. Portion equivalent to CGST is retained by the central government, and remaining portion is transferred to the respective state government. So it is, as we all know, IGST is applicable in case of interstate transactions. And this is how the distribution of the tax collected will happen, with part of it going to the center and part of it is going to the destination state. Interest and penalty also apportioned accordingly. So it is possible in certain cases a taxpayer is levied with the interest and also levied with the penalty in respect of the interstate transactions. So the amount of interest and the penalty is which is collected from the taxpayer is also apportioned on the similar lines between the center and the destination state. Adjustments are made where refund subsequently granted. Reflects destination-based principle of GST. ITC on inputs and capital goods sent for job work. So many times, friends, as we all know, a taxpayer may be sending some of his material outside for the job work, or maybe some of his its capital goods for the job work. So how to the ITC, how to take credit of the ITC in such cases? So number one, principal allowed to claim ITC on inputs sent to a job worker. So which means the taxpayer who is sending the material to the job worker, he is entitled to claim ITC on the inputs which are being sent to the job worker. ITC is available even if inputs sent directly to the job worker. No requirement to first bring goods to principal's premises. Meaning what? Meaning it is possible that X is purchasing certain goods from Y, and he asks Y to deliver these goods to Z, where the Z has to perform certain processing work on these input. So in this case, the law is absolutely fine, and it does not insist that first the goods should come from Y to X, and then X should send them to Z. It is not necessary. It is perfectly fine if the goods ordered by X on Y are sent by Y to Z, and then Z, after necessary processing, sends them to X. This is completely fine, and there is no hassle as far as claiming of the ITC is concerned on such inputs. Similar ITC benefits are also available for capital goods sent for job work. So whether you are sending the input raw material or you are sending the capital goods, ITC benefit is available. A direct dispatch of capital goods to job worker is also permissible, subject to prescribed conditions and the procedural compliances that in any case will need to be followed. So what those conditions are? Inputs must be received within 1 year. So if the inputs, the raw material, are being sent for the job working, it must come back within 1 year for the ITC to happen. Capital goods must be received back within 3 years. Failure to return within time treated as deemed supply. So in case if the material is not coming back, if the input is not coming back within 1 year, capital goods are not coming back within 3 years, in such case, it will be treated as a deemed supply, and accordingly, the tax liability will need to be discharged by the concerned parties. Deemed supply considered from date goods originally sent, from the date on which the goods were originally sent. Time counted from job worker received if sent directly. Molds, dies, jigs, fixtures, and tools are excluded from the time limit. Let's now come back, friends, and discuss about some more provisions with regard to the ISD, Input Service Distributor. ISD, as we have understood, is defined as office receiving invoices for input services it distributes input tax credit to units having same PAN, issues prescribed document for credit distribution. The concept is aligned with the earlier SANVAT credit mechanism. This credit distributed only to eligible taxable units. So in case of large organizations who have got multiple units spread throughout the country, goods are being received. Goods are being delivered by the suppliers from all over the country to all these business units, and so as to ensure proper arrangement and distribution of the GST credit, you have this concept of ISD, where all the credits are collected at the ISD, and from the ISD, the credits are distributed to all the business units within that group on pro rata basis. So credit distributed only to eligible taxable units. Outsourced manufacturers not eligible under the GST model. So in case of some work has been outsourced to outsiders and they are receiving the material, that credit will not be available through the mechanism of ISD. How to do the registration of ISD and what kind of returns are to be filed? Number one, fresh registration is required for the ISD under the GST. So an organization having multiple units all over the country is already registered under the GST, wants to take the advantage of ISD for distributing the credits to all its units all over the country, it will need to obtain a fresh registration as ISD. Migration of earlier registration is not applicable. Separate registration allowed for ISD and supplier role, of course. Distinct GSTIN is issued for the ISD registration. ISD return is required to be filed by 13th of succeeding month. Supplier return required by 20th of succeeding month. And these are the requirements of filing of the returns by the ISDs. So conditions and the manner of distribution by ISD, credit distributed cannot exceed amount available, of course, because the amount of credit that the ISD will distribute to all its business units cannot exceed the amount of the ISD which has been collected. Because if more ISD credit is distributed, it is going to be tantamount to a fraud. Credit attributable to a specific unit distributed only to that unit. Common service credit distributed on pro rata basis to all the units within that business group. Distribution based on turnover of relevant units. Prescribed documents mandatory for valid distribution. Inappropriate distribution is subject to recovery provisions. So in case if ISD does any distribution of the credit which is not as per the prescribed rules, in that case such distribution will be subject to recovery provisions that may also involve penalty as well as interest levied on the taxpayer. So with this, friends, we come to the close of our third session about the levying of the tax by levying tax under the framework of GST. And with this, we close our discussion on the third chapter of the entire course that we have. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.